It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott sitting in with us on Friday, as he does each and every Friday. A lot going on today. Unfortunately, yesterday, if you listened to the show, you know that Chase Rodman was supposed to be on the show, but his plane flight caused us a little problem yesterday, and he's going to join us here in a little bit. We'll talk to Chase about what's going on with the World of Outlaws. And we got plenty more to talk about. Gosh, Austin, you were right on top of it. Yesterday, you chose not to go to Tri-City Speedway this weekend in Granite City, Illinois, because you thought it was going to rain out. And what do you know? Torrential rain postpones Lucas Oil ASCS races at Tri-City this weekend. What do you think about that?
I'm glad I got my hotel rooms canceled that morning and didn't wait until when they called it, you know, later that evening. So
you already had your motel rooms booked?
Yep, I called it off Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. And
that was soon enough. It's 24 hours. Yep. I think that's what most motels want, 24-hour notice before when you cancel.
Yep, so I hate to see ASCS and Terry lose another race, but I mean, you had those years where it rains all spring, and then you know you go all summer with no rain or any issues like that. So hopefully, once we hit June 1st or even next weekend at the lake for two nights, we can get this season going and you know start racing here soon. I mean, you can only watch it rain for so long.
Oh my gosh. It's terrible. You know, you got to just sit here and think about it just for a second, right? They've only had two weekends of racing.
Yeah,
Devil's Bowl and Little Rock.
It's hard to believe that the last race was March 26th. It is
unbelievable.
Today's the 20th of May.
I'm feeling a little sorry for Terry Maddox right now.
I am. I mean, it's just a poor guy's wanting to do everything he can for sprint car racing and make it great and bring ASCS to the level that it deserves to be. And, you know, he's just being dealt a bad hand right now. You have weather, you have tire shortages, you have part shortages. I mean, and he said a couple times it's the worst time to buy a sprint car series, but at some point it'll change and Terry's hard work will pay off.
No doubt, Terry's a hard worker, and he's got Angie Battle helping him, and they're a great little team, and they're going to do just fine. I think they just got to get through this rough part of the season. Once we get past the spring, I believe once we get into summer, everything's going to be all right, hopefully anyway. But again, Jackson Motor Speedway postponed. That was a two-day show that they were supposed to have. The Salina Speedway was canceled. US 36 was rained out. And this weekend, obviously, rained out again at Tri-City Speedway. Next weekend, Lake Ozark Speedway, though, bud. How about that?
Yeah, finally coming back to Missouri.
To your neck of the woods.
Yeah, someplace I got a lot of laps around. So, you know, the Memorial Day and Labor Day shows at the lake are always really good for car counts and good racing. So I know we'll have the midgets as a support class, Power Eye midgets, and then in September we'll have non-wing sprint cars, I believe. And they rumor that they might try and add the Power Eye wing 410s with us this coming weekend. And, you know, it's kind of like if you miss the open wheel showdown at Lucas Oil, you can come down to the lake next weekend and watch just some more great open wheel sprint car racing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it... Gosh, you know, as many series that Terry owns right now, you got to be really frustrated. You know, I don't know how many it is. He owns NSL. He owns United Rebel Sprint Car Series, OCRS, ASCS, and the National Tour. So we'll just count that as five. That's a lot to digest, especially during a rainy season that we've had. Man, have we had more rain this year than maybe in years past? It seems like we have.
Yeah, I mean, we always go through that cycle of, you know, getting rainy seasons and the summer being rainy or the summer being dry and the spring being wet. So, I mean, You know, in the recent years that I can remember, yes, it's rained more, but I'd rather it rain early in the season and let us run for 3 or 4 months every weekend straight until it's time to shut it down for the wintertime.
You know, Kirk, it goes back to the old saying is, when is it too early to start racing at this time of the year? I say yes. I think it's a little too early to... But, you know, these promoters, they want to make some money. They want to start making it as soon as they can. But right now, I think it's a little early to start these races. What do you think?
Well, I mean, if you look at the weekend before Memorial Weekend, it's not too early. But certainly in March and April, weather is always touch and go. No doubt right. about that. But you figure you get the middle of May, you ought to be good to go for the rest of the year,
yep.
I would think. I mean, how often have you seen Memorial Weekend be bright, sunny, and no chance of rain?
Yeah.
It seems like it rains every Memorial Weekend, but, you know, after you get into June, certainly it ought to be good to go.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a bummer, but you know what I'm going to do? There's plenty of racing on television this weekend. What I counted, I went through there and counted up the amount of races that Flo's going to have on Friday and Saturday. 40 races, Kirk. Can you imagine, Kirk, we were in this business for a long time, right? Could you imagine having 40 races in a weekend?
That's crazy. We had 4 events in one night at Racing Boys, and that was a lot for us to handle.
I think we've had more than 4 in one night.
4 live events in one night is our that's our max.
But when we were doing live audio, I think we did a little bit more.
You add the live audio, then we've had more than that.
Yeah.
But 4 live video events in one night. But you and I are supposed to go over here to Sweet Springs tomorrow night, right?
Right, yeah.
That's still on.
Well, as of now, I don't know if Mother Nature's going to be good to us tomorrow. You know, Sweet Springs is about an hour from Kansas City, and a great micro track.
Working for the cushion this weekend.
Working for the cushion. I'll be running the camera. You're going to go over there and help us get all set up and ready to go. Are you going to stick around, or are you going to bail out?
No, I'll hang around, but you're running the camera. Don't get me near running that camera.
Right.
I'll help you out. How's that?
Let me tell you a little story about Kirk Elliott running a camera one time. Can I tell that story, Kirk? You don't mind.
Yeah, I don't mind.
You don't mind. So Kirk Elliott one day, he decided he's going to go down and he's going to run the camera down at Lake Ozark Speedway.
Right.
That's where it was at, right?
Regional Warrior, Racing Boys Warrior
right.
Region event.
So Kirk, I don't know if people know this about Kirk, but his eyesight's not really that great.
No.
Right?
Not good.
That's fair. I'm not throwing you under the bus there.
One of the reasons why I quit announcing races.
Right. So, anyway, long story short is, Kirk, he's running the camera, and he's kind of trying to stay up with the announcer, but he's having a little bit of a time with it. But then, during the A-Main, you know, if you're a cameraman, you really got to pay attention. If you get off the leader, you got to really pay attention to where the leader's at.
Yeah.
And Kirk was, he drifted back into the field, and he started shooting some other guys racing each other, and he lost the leader.
I lost the leader, and I couldn't find him.
He couldn't find the leader. So what did you do, Kirk? You just stopped and just kind of pointed the camera down to the grandstands and looked around for about 2 minutes.
It was the worst possible thing you can do at a live doing live video.
We were watching the crowd. We weren't watching the races on the racetrack. And Kirk, for about 2 minutes, is looking for the leader, and he finally finds the leader. But it wasn't very good.
And you called me up on the phone. What are you doing?
What are you doing, Kirk? What are you pointing at the crowd?
After that night, I fired myself as a live.
That was Kirk's last night as a camera operator.
I always bring a spotter with me on my roof when I shoot.
That's a good idea.
I've had 2 spotters when I shoot sprint car races. Nobody knows who they are. I'll keep them anonymous, but they come up and they give me a hand. Scott doesn't even know who they are, but they come up and they give me a hand. And that way, in case I do drift back, I go like this. I give them a little wave.
Right.
And then she or he gives me a point to where that car is, and I can get right back on there, because I know that feeling of losing a car and not knowing where, especially a track with no scoreboard.
Yeah.
It'll kill you.
The sprint cars go so fast.
Well, the problem is it's really you've got to be able to multitask when you shoot with a camera.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to stay with the leader, then go back a little bit, follow the announcer, because that's the number one thing that you need to do is follow the announcer, right? And as you're following the announcer, you've got to kind of just take a look off of your camera and keep track of where the leader is at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to be able to do
it.
It both.
Really makes you appreciate how good Jeff Christensen, Dean Mills, Jeff Converse, people like that are.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson is great.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great camera operators that we've had work for us over the years at Racing Boys.
All of those guys have worked for us.
They do a great job, mm-hmm. and you appreciate just how good they are when you try to fumble through it yourself, like me.
We need to get Austin
a bad job.
To be a cameraman sometime. Yeah. Austin, you want to give that a whirl?
Oh, I'll have to.
Eventually.
I'm down for anything.
You're eventually going to have to give it a whirl.
You do a pretty good job, Scott, running that camera. Lots better than I do. So,
well,
I mean, you did some events solo last year for the Lucas Oil ASCS National decent job.
Kirk, not only did I run the camera, but I hosted the broadcast while I was running the camera.
You did that.
Can you imagine that, Austin? I had a headset on top of the trailer. Deidre was down in the trailer making sure that everything was running fine in the mixer and everything. And I would stand up on top of the trailer, run the camera, and have a racing radio on. And then I would tell Deidre, get ready to pod me up. I'm going to go to Scotty. And then she'd pod me up, and I'd say, all right, let's go down to Scotty Cook. And I'd radio Scotty and throw it down to him in the pits. And then he'd throw it back to me, and I'd say, okay, Scotty, thank you. And then I'd go back to shooting the camera again. You think you could do that, Kirk?
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, Scotty Cook, he's not working this weekend at Tri-City Speedway. Doesn't he work once in a while at Sweet Springs?
No.
He fills in over there every now and then, does he not?
He's not really wanting to work over at Sweet Springs too much.
Okay.
You know, the problem with micro racing is, and I don't think they're having that big a problem because the car count's down a little bit over there at Sweet Springs right now, isn't it, Austin? Just a little bit?
It's down quite a bit.
Yeah. From when you raced. How many cars raced there when you were there? About 120, 30 cars?
Every bit of that.
Yeah.
Or entries, at least. Entries.
And what did they have? You looked it up last week. They had 70-some cars last week, wasn't
it? Yeah, they had about 4 Outlaw Micros, about 10 A-Class, 13 Restrictor and Non-Wing. And then Junior Sprints has stayed maintained at 17, and Sportsman's been always 10.
They only had 4 Outlaws last week?
4 Outlaw.
Oh, my. Well, you know, I think Port City had an event last weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
That's not the reason why there's only 4.
Okay. You want to mention what the reason why is?
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Because of the motor, because they went to 2-mil motors, right?
Yeah, so they have, I don't know what the exact size of a 2-mil is, but it's just 2 mil over.
Right.
So what they did was, their thought process behind it was to allow more touring cars and out-of-state cars to come race local at Sweet Springs, even though the local car count, when they had just a stock motor off the bike running in the Outlaw class, was about 20 to 25, maybe sometimes 30. They had a great car count.
Right.
What they did was, a lot of teams that could run non-wing and A-class could run the same car with bigger wings in the Outlaw class. So they got a lot of cars that could run, you know, double or triple duty. And then they went to 2 mils only, and you eliminated
class.
That. So only a handful of, as you can see now, only a handful of teams have 2 mils that are only legal with PowerI and some certain tracks around the country, but there's not enough local backing behind it to keep the class alive.
So what you're saying is, when they brought in the 2-mil motors, the guys that were running the stock motors just bailed out.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
right.
they make, I don't know how much more horsepower they make, but it's quite a bit more. And they just, I mean, there's no sense in trying to compete against it when you're going to get outmotored. You know, some guys that have an A-class in stock motor, they will run against it when the car count's like low, like it was last weekend with 4, just to get start
right.
money or a little bit of money. But yeah, I mean, they lost that big car count.
What's it pay to win the Outlaw class out there, do you know?
I know when I ran, they, I'm trying to think of how much, I think all the classes were the same. they had a certain amount of cars. The most you could win was like $100. And then if there was, let's say,
$100.
Yes.
And think about the price of an Outlaw 2 mil car.
In micro racing at a local level, you won't make any money.
Now, why would they change the rules? Because they used to draw a pretty good car count.
They wanted to be more inclusive to bringing in and have a more draw from out-of-state cars. So cars that would run with Powereye or cars that would run, I think maybe Oklahoma might have a couple of tracks that allow 2 mils with the Outlaw class or just, you know, out-of-staters to come to their track. But when they did that, I mean, like I said, they just lost all their local car count backing in. I think they had 2 or 3 races a year that they allowed the 2 mils, and it paid extra money. So that's what they were seeing is, well, when we had these races, they come for it. Well, they paid extra money. So they just they made a mistake on the choice, and it kind of bit them.
Right. And there was a time when doesn't most of the classes run like 1640s?
I think that's the 2 mil.
Is that the 2 mil, the 1640?
Yeah, it's a 600cc off the bike. Yamaha, yeah. Suzuki, Honda, whatever you want to run. And then I think the 2 mil is a 640.
Is that the same rules they run at Port City?
I'm not sure if that's the same rules. I'll have to look that up. I don't follow Port City as much as I used to.
Well, it's because you're a sprint car driver now, right?
You lived in that world for a while, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I never left.
Where'd you finish? What was your best finish down at the shootout?
Like 10th. I think 10th my first year.
Your first year, you were 10th.
Yeah, we had
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It still curses me to the day. I can't get out of a qualifier to save my life. So that kind of mired me back to, I think, probably a 16th or 17th starting spot. And the qualifier runs still kind of stick with me today because it shows in my sprint car I can't get out of a qualifier to save my life.
The last chance qualifier?
No, the actual qualifiers after the heat race.
Yeah.
But no, we had a good run through the feature. I think we passed, you know, 6 or 7 cars.
Right. So the World of Outlaws tonight are going to be running at Attica, right? Is that right?
Yeah. Attica tonight and Sharon tomorrow.
Right, yeah.
Yep.
Man, I'm looking forward to that. You guys looking forward to that?
Right. All-Stars are running in Wisconsin this weekend. Wilmot tonight, Plymouth Dirt Track tomorrow night, and Angel Park on Sunday night.
Yeah, that'll be good stuff. I know that a few of the ASCS National Tour guys, I know Blake Hahn and
Wayne Johnson,
they went. They're racing tonight at Jackson. They're going to race it Saturday night at
Knoxville. Is that just
Knoxville,
a weekly show up there and then Jackson?
Yeah, and then yeah. They're going to run at Huset's on Sunday. So I talked to Tommy Hahn last night as they were driving up there, and that's what they're going to be doing this weekend. So that'd be kind of cool to watch. I'll be watching some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you get at least, probably 5 or 6 added 360s to the field at Knoxville.
Yeah.
Jackson's had trouble getting shows in this year, right?
They've had a couple rainouts, and then the sprint cars don't race there. Well, until tonight. I think the next 410 show is going to be in June.
This is her first sprint car show at Jackson, right?
Yes.
Huh. How about that? Well, it's going to be good. I can't wait to check it out again. The World of Outlaws will be racing at Attica Raceway Park in Attica, Ohio. Sharon Speedway in Hartford, Ohio. And that's all starting tonight and tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to that. We'll talk to Chase Rodman here in a few minutes about that. And about the World of Outlaws season so far this year, man. I've said it many a times here in the last couple of weeks that, you know, I lived in my little box with ASCS as I traveled up and down the road. And I really didn't pay a lot of attention to everything that was going on outside of the ASCS world. But right now, I couldn't be any happier with what I'm watching with the World of Outlaws and the All-Stars. I mean, I think the racing's fabulous right now. What do you think, Kirk?
Oh, yeah. How about that race at Bridgeport the other night?
Oh, man.
Sheldon Haudenschild. You know, once I thought Larson had grabbed the lead in that race, I mean, everybody thought, well, that's it. But
right.
Sheldon just didn't give up. And he really works that high line well. Everybody talks about Kyle Larson, the way he works the high line. Well, Sheldon Haudenschild is pretty good up high, too.
Well, here's what happened the other night, Kurt. And if you listen to the interview and the post-race interview with Kyle Larson, Larson said he should have got up there and ripped the lip. But right. what he tried to do is run the middle of the racetrack, and that left the top open for Sheldon to go around him on the outside.
And Sheldon was surprised that Larson didn't go up high.
Right, yeah.
And Larson admitted himself, yep, I should have went up high.
Yep, he did. That's what I just said, Kurt.
But, I mean,
you just repeated what I just said.
But the world of outlaws is as competitive a series as there is, and we're seeing that Kyle Larson just doesn't, he's just not able just to roll in and, you know, mark it up every time out. These guys are really good.
You know what I really liked about Sheldon's interview in his post-race interview? They kind of talked about him outrunning Larson, right? But Sheldon was really quick to say that these are the best sprint car drivers in the world. It's just not Kyle Larson.
Right.
And I thought that was pretty cool of him to recognize that this is the toughest series in the world right now, and it's not all about Kyle Larson. It's about Donnie Schatz, Logan Schuchart. You know, Anthony Macri was there the other night. James McFadden, Rico Abreu was there. You know, Spencer Baston, David Gravel. You just go on. Brad Sweet, Carson Macedo. There were so many good. Giovanni Selzy, he was there. There's so many good drivers that run with the World of Outlaws. I think that he did those guys a little bit of a favor by. Do you agree with me, Austin? By saying that it's not just Kyle Larson, it's all these other guys are the best too.
Well, it's not like that. It's not like. I don't know. I mean, we already knew that the Outlaws were the best. I mean,
everybody knows that.
Everybody right? knows that, you right. know. And Kyle Larson just, I mean, he's just as good as them. And I mean, it shows he can.
I agree.
Be. And you know, all he did was when he came back and ran in 2020 was make the full time Outlaw drivers better. That's all he did.
Yeah.
So they got to race on his level, and they got to improve their style. And now, you know, you have years that you're really good, and you have years that you're just kind of a subpar, you know, average car every night. And, you know, Larson might be in that average swing this year. And, you know, but it still shows that, you know, even on an average year, he's still good. You know,
Do you think that the rest of the World of Outlaws have kind of caught up with Kyle Larson and Paul Silva a little bit?
They might have. I mean,
because he's not winning the way he was.
No, but also Kyle is on a different, his schedule's different now.
Well,
back when he ran, he was running not every night, but, you know, three or four nights a week.
When he was suspended.
You know,
right.
that was his paycheck, and
right.
that's not his paycheck anymore. It's Cup, and, you know, when you have something that's your full-time job, but it'll take your focus away from anything else. Yes, he might come back and still do it, but it wasn't his priority, so it's not getting the attention that it needs to be where he was 2 years ago.
Right.
Larson did well just to hold off Donnie Schatz there for that second-place spot. You mentioned Anthony Macri, who started 15th and finished 4th in that race.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
He started 14th.
Started 14th and
14th.
Ended up 5th,
yeah,
is 14th. What I meant to say.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Chase Rodman's going to join us here on the show. He is the pit reporter for the World of Outlaw Sprint Car Series. Just as good as they get. There's really nobody is any better than Chase is at what he does, and we're going to have him on the show. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back with Chase Rodman.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sports, we're in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott is sitting in with us today. It's Friday, it's Phone Friday. We take phone calls, but right now we're going to visit with our friend from the world of outlaws, Chase Rodman. Chase, how you doing?
Hey, Scott. How's it going, man? Just eating a little lunch here in Attica, getting ready for the race tonight.
Yeah.
Coming up before the Brad Doty later this year.
Man, I gotta step back to Bridgeport and that race that Sheldon, where he manned up and went around Larson on the outside there at the end of that race. Man, that was a barn burner of a race. What did you think about that? Were you a little shocked that Larson tried to run the middle instead of going to the top at the end of that race?
You know, I was, but I feel like at the same time, whatever Kyle was going to do in turn one, I feel like Sheldon was going to try and do the opposite.
Yeah.
Just knowing him and his driving style. So I was surprised Kyle didn't go to the top. because I feel like before that, you know, that green flag run, it seemed like that Sheldon was, you know, making passes on the top. Whenever Kyle would run the bottom, he would get a run down the backstretch and go by him. But and I think Kyle, he realized he really messed up. And, you know, I talked to him in victory lane there. He knew he'd made a mistake. And I'm sure he's went back and watched the replay a few times and probably not too happy with that move that he right. made. But, yeah, Sheldon, I think that there's no doubt, you know, that he's probably the most exciting sprint car driver we've got right now.
Yeah. What do you think it does to a driver when they outrun a guy like Kyle Larson? Because everybody talks about he's the greatest driver in the world right now, right? And if you're Sheldon or if you're any one of the other World of Outlaw drivers that outruns Kyle Larson, what does that do to you psychologically? I got to feel that that's got to really kind of give you a boatload of confidence, doesn't it?
Oh, I think so for sure. You know, I caught some flack on Twitter, after the race for saying something to Sheldon about, Larson brings, sure, there's a lot of people at Bridgeport that may not have been there if it wasn't for him being there. And I mentioned that to Sheldon. You know, a lot of people here tonight are probably here to watch, you know, Kyle, but then you beat him. And I feel like that's huge, not only, you know, psychologically. I mean, I feel like, you know, in 2020 when Kyle was full-time dirt guy,
yeah,
I feel like it was a huge deal to beat him when he was on that huge streak. And, you know, still today, he's still got it, man. I mean, he'd never been to Bridgeport before and was, you know, challenging for the win, which always amazes me how he's able to do that. But I think it's big. I think it's big for anybody to be able to go out there and beat Kyle, you know, mano-a-mano, head-on, and do it in an exciting fashion like that. And I think it's also cool, you know, not psychologically, but for fans that go there to watch Kyle, they see a guy that they've never heard of potentially, they see him win, you know, they instantly become a fan, they want to get a shirt. I think it's good all around for something like that, for, you know, a guy like Sheldon.
When Kyle shows up, can you physically see a difference in the attendance in the grandstands when Kyle's there racing with you guys?
I think so, but what I notice the most is in the pit area before the races. So on Wednesday, was that Wednesday or Tuesday? Tuesday night, I think, is when we were there.
Right.
You know, I was doing my pre-race stuff, and I was trying to get an interview with Kyle, Bowman, and Bell. And then Kyle was over at the T-shirt trailer, which was kind of off-site a little bit. He wasn't, like, in the main area where all the other T-shirt trailers were at. So I was driving my quad out there to go get an interview with him. And meanwhile, he was coming the other direction, so I had stopped him. And I did a little interview with him real quick, and then he's like, hey, can you give me a ride over to my trailer? So I gave him a ride, and I'm not kidding you, man. There had to be 25 or 30 people. They had made a line right next to his car waiting for him to get there. As soon as he rolled up, he gets the Sharpie out and starts signing stuff. You just don't see that anywhere else except for when he's there. And I'm sure we'll see it again here tonight at Attica. But it's just crazy. It's so crazy to me how many people show up and just hang out in the pit area waiting to see him. And Kyle loves it, man. He likes the dirt racing fans. I'm not saying he doesn't like NASCAR fans, but he really likes the dirt racing fans because they are there to watch racing, not there just to, you know, get a diecast sign so they can sell it on the internet. You know, they're there to watch racing, and they're there to cheer him on.
Well, I think Kyle looks at it just like most of the NASCAR Cup drivers. That's just their paycheck, right? That's not really what they want to do full time, but it pays so much money. And, you know, Kyle's got to make a boatload of money over there driving in the Cup side of things. So I think they just look at it as a paycheck when it comes to driving in Cup. I gotta talk a little bit about Anthony Macri. Man, he made a hell of a run the other night. He started 14th and ended up 5th. Anthony Macri, one of the hottest drivers in the country right now.
Yeah, I didn't even realize he ran 5th until Johnny was doing the rundown of the race results after the race, and he said, wow, Anthony Macri, 14th to 5th. And before the race, I was doing the research or whatever, and I noticed that Macri has ran, I want to say he's been there, you know, 7, 8, 9 times between 410s and 360s, and he'd never been outside the top 5 at Bridgeport, and he was able to keep that streak alive there. Macri has been extremely good. You know, I feel like that one weekend at Bristol, He wasn't too good. Obviously, he'd never been there before, and he was having a lot of mechanical issues, and that kind of, you know, set him back a little bit. But then, you know, got back on the horse there at Bridgeport, top five, and then I guess he's supposed to be here tonight at Attica, and tomorrow at Sharon. So we'll see how he goes. I remember last year here at Attica, I want to say he flipped. He wasn't too good his first time here, but you know, he's gotten a lot of experience since then, and we'll see if he can get, you know, excel at a place that I feel like he doesn't get to visit, you know, very often, or have any place like that in Pennsylvania. There's nothing like Attica in Pennsylvania that he gets right to run at all the time. So we'll see how he does tonight.
Yeah, Bridgeport turned out to be a pretty good racetrack for the Outlaws too, didn't it? I thought the racing was fantastic there.
Yeah, it is, man. I love the layout there, the banking, everything there. It looks like it is a place that would put on a good race. And you know, early in the night, everybody was worried. You know, the drivers, the officials, myself. I was just like, first car rolled out on the track for hot laps, and it was blowing dust, and I knew that we were in trouble.
Yeah.
And then, you know, qualifying did not look good. They were 2 seconds off the track record, and then they was taking rubber in heat four, and I was just like, man, this ain't going to be good for us here. So, but you know what my favorite thing is when something like that happens, and then, you know, all the drivers are like, oh, man, what lap? Do you think it's going to take rubber on? You know,
right.
Well, you know, is it going to be lap 5, lap 15? And then all of a sudden, like, the track does something, and it turns out to be an insane race. Like, that's happened to me a few times on this job where it's like everything looks like it's about to be terrible, and it turns out to be an absolute barn burner of a race. So
yeah.
They did a great job salvaging that for the main event, and that's what everybody came for. They came to see the main event, and it was a hell of a race.
Yeah, there's no doubt they took the extra time to make the track good before that A main. I mean, listen, I've always said this before, and Chase, maybe you'll agree with me. I would rather stay a little bit late than watch a track where everybody's putting around on the bottom in a rubber down racetrack, right? I'd rather stay an extra hour and let them work the racetrack to give me a good race, because as a ticket holder or as a fan of sprint car racing, there's nothing worse than watching them putt around the bottom in rubber, right? So I think what they did the other night at Bridgeport was fantastic, and it turned out to be a great race.
Yeah, and I feel like the guys, the track promoter and everybody there had kind of realized that they had a huge crowd, right? I mean, Larson was there, Bowman was there, Bell, Casey Kane was back. The Outlaws were in town. They knew that people were complaining about the racetrack and the heat races and everything, and they knew that they needed to make something happen to at least show that they were trying, right? That they weren't just going to let it, you know, take rubber for the main event, especially during a tire shortage and everything. But they did everything they needed to do, and it turned out great. The one thing I will say is, you know, Bridgeport, they don't have very many sprint car races throughout the year. They do have that USAC East Coast series that comes through pretty often. But I feel like they're mostly known for, you know, small block and big block modifieds. And a track like what we were seeing, you know, early in the night, I feel like that's kind of a track that you would want to see as a big block modified driver. And that's kind of how they had prepped it, I feel like. And they probably weren't expecting to see, you know, 35 or whatever it was, 30, 34 sprint cars, I think, show up. They probably weren't expecting that many cars. And so they didn't throw everything they needed to at it to make it as good as it could have been, you know, throughout the first part of the night there.
Yeah, it looked like Casey Kane, when he had that right rear flat, I think there was like 4 laps to go, right? That kind of made that race interesting right there at the end, because Casey Kane had that right rear flat.
Yeah, I mean, it was good right up until that point, too.
Yeah.
I feel like either way, if it would have stayed green or if we would have had that caution, I think we were going to be shaping up for a good finish. But yeah, Casey got the right rear out there. I think there was some debris on the track, and Brent Marks also ran over and got a right rear down too. But, yeah, you know, as soon as the yellow came out, cause it went green all the way till that point. And then I turned over to my buddy and I was like, oh man, this is going to be interesting right here, because, you know, Sheldon in second with a couple laps to go. We know at this point in time that he is not a guy that settles for second place.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely proved that in that last 3 or 4 laps there.
The news is coming down that Robbie Price is going to drive the 7S car. Were you a little surprised by that choice of driver for that car? A guy that's really known as a 360 sprint car driver, Robbie Price. He's won Dirt Cup up there at Skagit 1 year with us with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour. Were you a little set back a little bit by the choice of the driver going into the 7S car?
I kind of knew about it for like a week now or so, and I've been kind of, at first I was like, wow, that's who we got in that thing, huh? And then now I just kind of like realizing, you know, Robbie's still relatively young guy, you know, and he doesn't have a ton of 410 experience, and I feel like pairing up with Jason, who has a ton of experience and a ton of time on the road, and he's got all that experience of being to all these racetracks, and I just don't know how Jason and Robbie are going to mesh, because the short time that I've gotten to know Robbie, he seems like a very quiet guy.
He doesn't
talk a whole lot.
Yeah.
And Jason is, complete opposite. Wants to go out and party and have a good time and
on the chip.
I'm not sure how those personalities are going to mesh, but
yeah.
We know that Jason's got fast stuff, and I feel like Robbie, once he, gets acquainted in the car and gets a couple laps under his belt, gets a couple races under his belt, I feel like he could be not very bad at all. I think he could be good. It's just he doesn't have that much 410 experience, really.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. To be honest with you, I was a little set back. I would think that if Jason was going to go out and grab somebody, you would think that it would be somebody with a ton of 410 experience so they could elevate that program. And who knows? A lot of times on these business deals like this, somebody brings something to the table, right? I don't know if that's the case with the 7S car with Jason Sides or not, but I know Robbie Price, when he's worked with other people in the past, he's brought a little bit to the table. And that's the kind of the world we live in right now, too, isn't it?
Yeah, and I heard a little something that he did bring something, a sponsorship or whatever, to make that happen. And I don't think, that there's anything wrong with that, man. If he could do it with Jason for less than he could do it for his own program, then I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
I think that, I feel like what everybody was kind of thinking with that car was that, maybe Ian Madsen would get in it. I saw a couple people talking about Tanner Thorson getting in it. I think Ian was kind of the guy I was thinking of before the Robbie Price news.
Right.
And Ian would have been an interesting fit in there because he's got that outlaw experience. He knows how to win. He knows how to drive a 410 sprint car very well at all these tracks that we go to. But there was some money or something, exchanged there between Robbie and Jason. From what at least I was told.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see if it pays off. I think it's going to be cool to have another young guy on the tour,
no doubt,
following us around. And it's cool that Jason is not leaving. That's the one thing I really like, is that if a guy, like we've seen in the past, where a guy has all this equipment and all these good cars and motors and everything, and then he just gets up and leaves, and then that's it. Like with Jason, 410 sprint car racing with the Outlaws is all he knows, man. Like,
right.
I'm glad that he is going to keep, the legacy of that car on the road. He has no plans to end this whole thing.
Yeah. Is Rico Abreu still helping the 7S car a little bit? I know he did last year, but is he helping him this year at all?
I think he is. He's still, quote-unquote, the co-owner or whatever of Jason's car. At least that's what, as far as the T-shirt trailers and stuff go with, mm-hmm. the traveling teams, like Rico's stuff is still, in the same trailer as Jason's, and he's able to park with all the other Platinum teams. So I think that is the case still.
Okay. Let me ask you, are you a little surprised that we're at this point of the season and Brad Sweet only has one victory? Are you a little set back by that?
I am. I am very, I'm very surprised and shocked that, Jacob Allen has twice as many wins as Brad Sweet does, and we're, 20, 21 races into the season.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me that he is still leading the points, right? Because he's very consistent. He's in the top 10
right.
every night, and then he strings together a lot of top 5 finishes in a row. Brad and the team, there's something ain't going right there. Like, they just have not been that fast. The one win they got was at Votto, and I don't remember if you watched that race or not. But
I did.
It wasn't like it was a super technical racetrack. It was, right, you know, hammered down right to the middle, and Sheldon was all over him and almost beat him, and they barely won that race. And what worries me is that, you know, Brad's still leading the points, and those guys are trying to find their bearings and trying to find their place, you know, trying to find that speed that they're used to, and they're still at the top of the heap in the points. That's what scares me. Once they do get going,
yeah,
you know, what's going to happen, right? Like, are they going to just absolutely, you know, click off, you know, four or five wins in a row or what? Because right now they don't have that speed they're looking for. And this has been a question I've been asked a few times. Like, I mean, Scott, I want to hear your opinion. Who do you think right now is the best car in the country at this point in time?
Well, you know, I'm kind of a little bit of a homer because, you know, we're in the show me state, and I look at Carson Macedo. He's got four wins this year. Sheldon's got three wins. I'm looking at one of those two guys to kind of leapfrog over David Gravel and maybe get up in there in the point lead. I'm not sure, but like you say, if Brad Sweet gets on a roll here in the middle of the summer when the tracks get really technical and when they get slicked off, that's when he'll shine. And I'm not sure if anybody's going to overtake Brad. He's got a 20-point lead over David Gravel right now, 44 points over Carson Macedo, and 58 points over Sheldon. But I've got to look at the guys that have the speed right now, and to me, it seems like it's Macedo and Hodenschild.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to put a finger on it for the fastest car in the country right now, I'd have to say it's Carson. And then I want to say second right now, the second best car in the country, in my opinion, right now is Spencer Bastin. I feel like he's just been super consistent.
That's true.
And going to tracks he's never been to, ending up in the top 10. He has been extremely good as of recently. So those are kind of my two guys, and maybe throw Jacob Allen in the mix there as well. He's been extremely fast, but
he has.
You know, I don't know if you remember back to Williams Grove, but it's such a disappointment when Carson was about to take the point lead and we were going to have a close battle, and then, you know, he's lighted the scales there and goes from potentially leaving 6 points ahead of Brad to, you know,
42,
like 35 or something behind him.
I think it was that. I think it was 42 points that he was behind after he got disqualified that night. Yeah.
That was tough to see.
Yeah, for sure. Man, let me tell you, Chase, I just think you do such a great job at your craft. You know, I've traveled up and down the road, and I worked with a guy that wasn't very studious, but he had a great rapport with all the drivers, Scotty Cook, right? But when I watch you do your job, you're very studious and you work at your craft, and I really enjoy your work out there with the World of Outlaws, man. I just think that you do the job as well as anybody in the business right now.
Well, Scott, I appreciate that a lot, man. And it's still crazy to me to think that I'm doing this, right? Like, I mean, there's only one position like this in the world, and I'm the lucky guy that is able to have it. And it took a long time to get here, man. It took, you know, 8 or 9 years of, you know, bouncing around, you know, California, driving 6 or 7 hours a weekend to make $50 here and there, and then, you know, finally able to get a good break, and that's all it takes. So if there's any young announcers out there listening, man, you just got to try and hang in there and keep doing what you're doing and do a good job. So it, you know, it makes me feel really good to hear you say that, Scott. And, you know, Scotty Cook, man, that guy, I respect him a lot. I think he gets a lot of flack, I feel like, on social medias and stuff.
Right.
He does, but I think he does a good job. And I'll tell you right now, what he can do that I can't is walk up to somebody after they had just absolutely flipped, you know, just flipped their balls off and walk up to him and ask him what happened. I cannot do that. I don't know how he does it, and he handles it so well. And like you said, he's got a good rapport with drivers. And I'm working on that as well. And what he's able to do in those situations never ceases to amaze me.
Well, let me just tell you a little inside secret to that. Typically, when that guy wrecks and flips his balls off, I'm in his ear saying, Scotty, run over there. Get in the golf cart. Get over there while he's still got his emotions high. And that's the one thing that I think Scotty does maybe better than anybody else, is that he gets in there in the heat of the moment and asks those questions when a guy's really ticked off at another driver or the racetrack or whatever. That's where I think his that's where he's the best at. Just getting in there, like you say, and mixing it up with those drivers when they're really ticked off. And I got to give him credit for that. Well, Chase, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. We love having you on the show. We hope that we can have you on from time to time over the summer. Great job as usual. I'm sorry we couldn't get you in yesterday. I know your plane flight kind of changed the direction of the show a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I got my time zones mixed up yesterday, and that kind of messed us up a little bit there. But glad I was able to get on this week, and glad I was able to talk to you again, Scott. It's always fun to talk to you guys, and thanks for having me on again. And hopefully we can talk again here in a few weeks or so.
All right, travel safe.
All right, thanks, Scott. See you.
There you have it. Chase Rodman joining us on the show. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Spirit Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott sitting in with us today. I want to remind everybody about the track tribute that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's such a great exhibit about Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. It's no longer there. It's been closed a long time. They've got cars and information about the drivers that race there. They've got T-shirts and posters. A lot of great things. And that's going to go through October 1st, folks. So get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and go in there and check out the great tribute to Ascot Park in Gardena, California. And remember, the NASCAR Truck Series is going to visit Knoxville Raceway on Saturday, June 18th. And if you want to buy a ticket for the second floor in the museum, they are available for $80. You can buy you a ticket for $80 and sit up. Listen, when I go to the Nationals for the 360 Nationals, the 410 Nationals, I sit on the second floor of the museum, right? It's a great view, and you can watch the cars go down the back straightaway. You can watch them come through one and two. They come right at you. It's such a great seat. And, again, that's on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You can buy a ticket up there for $80, folks, or you can give them a call and reserve your second floor pass at 641-841-6176. Let me say that again. 641-841-6176. Reserve your second floor pass for the NASCAR truck race. Again, that is on June 18th. So get up there and check that out, man. I'm telling you, there's not a better seat in the house than over there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum on the second floor. You've been up there a time or two, haven't you, Kirk? It's a pretty good seat, isn't it, bud?
I've been up there many times.
Yeah, it's a good seat, isn't it?
It is a great view. And when you get up on top of the Brian Clausen Suite Tower,
oh man,
that's even better.
That's even better.
That is an awesome view on top of the new Brian Clausen Suite Tower.
Yeah, no doubt. So, Kirk, we were talking during the commercial break, and you said since February, the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series has only had three races out of 11 since February, right?
Right.
How many races that total? Because they did race a little bit earlier in February down there in Florida.
Yeah, they were down at East Bay Raceway, Alltech, and a couple of places down in Florida up in February during Speed Weeks.
Yep.
And they've had a total of 27 races scheduled. They've got 14 in.
Yep.
But since February, as you pointed out, only 3 of 11 events. Incredible. But they're in action this weekend, though, Scott. They're going to be at the 300 Raceway up in Farley, Iowa tonight, and tomorrow night at 34 Raceway, and then next weekend at Lucas Oil Speedway, the Show Me 100. And they just put out a report that they're going to pay $50,000 to win for the Show Me 100 this year. So,
wow, 50 grand.
That's all going on next weekend. I'm thinking about heading down there, the Cowboy Classic on Thursday night at Lucas Oil Speedway, and then Friday and Saturday night down there. It's a big weekend. The biggest weekend of the year, Lucas Oil Speedway.
So you're just going to go down on Saturday night, Kirk?
Thursday night.
Thursday night?
I think I'll head down Thursday night. Maybe go back down Saturday. Depends on what else we got going on.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to be at Lake Ozark Speedway watching the ASCS over there. That's going
to
be a good race.
I'd like to head there, too.
Yeah.
So, a lot of racing going on. A
lot going on right now. May drive to Knoxville tomorrow morning, Paul said. So, Paul, be careful if you drive over there. I like what else Paul said here. He said, if they don't like Scotty Cook, they have issues. That's the truth.
Yeah, Scotty's entertaining as hell.
Did you just say hell?
Yeah.
Oh, my. That is about as far as I've ever heard. Kirk, Kirk Elliott go
can
all
Can you say that on your podcast?
Hold on.
You can say whatever you want on
I
this
love
podcast.
Scotty Cook.
You know, hey, when Kirk cusses, he means it. It must mean something special.
It's
to Kirk.
Real, right? So I don't know, Austin. What are you going to do this weekend? You're going to graduate on Sunday, aren't you, buddy?
Congratulations, Austin O'Neill.
Yeah, I graduate Sunday. I get to go turn wrenches on a pavement road course cart tomorrow morning.
Oh yeah, because you're not going to be here tomorrow.
No, I'm not. I was supposed to be in Tri-City. And then I canceled that, and then the rain helped me with that decision.
A road course car. Now, where is this?
This will be in Garnett, Kansas. A buddy of mine, Chris Willard, he works for me certain weekends of the year in the sprint car, so I guess I got to be nice and repay him for his time on my car to go work on his and see if we can't redeem ourselves. We should have won 3 or 4 races by now, but we've had little mistakes that's taken us out of a win.
I love it here. Tammy, I haven't been reading a lot of the messages that were over here today, but Tammy said, no joke, at least half of the fans at Bridgeport were wearing Kyle Larson shirts.
Yeah. He draws a crowd.
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy, isn't it? But like I said the other day, and I don't want anybody to hold this against me, but I'm a little tired of the Kyle Larson thing. To be honest with you, I mean, I like Kyle, and me and him get along just fine. But, you know, I like, me personally, I'm a guy that likes to root for the underdog. I've always been that guy, right? Because I always felt like I was the underdog when I raced. And I kind of gravitate towards those guys, the guys that don't win all the time, the guys that need to win a little more often. Those are the guys I gravitate to.
And Kyle doesn't want to let you know where he's going to be. I saw Kyle Larson last Saturday out at Kansas Speedway, and I asked him, okay, Kyle, when are we going to see the 57 car again? He says, soon. Can you say when?
Soon. You know why?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want anybody to make money off of him.
Right.
Right.
And I get that.
No, I do too.
I don't have any problem with that.
No, I do too.
But as it turned out, it was 3 days later at Bridgeport. So,
yeah.
But Kyle Larson, not only in the World of Outlaws, got outrun, but last Sunday, Kurt Busch outran him, too. So,
yeah.
In the Cup Series.
Well, I hope I'm
not. Has he lost his touch a little bit? I don't know.
Right. Right.
Well, I don't think so.
Paul and Cole said, me too, Scott. I'm with you, Scott. Well, you know, it's the old saying, right? Everybody loves to hate a winner.
And Kyle's a good guy. When he gets beat, he's pretty cool about it most of the time, you know?
No doubt. Listen,
he's a good guy.
I have nothing against Kyle Larson. I think he's a great guy, a great ambassador to our sport. I think he's been one of the greatest things that has happened to dirt track racing. I think he's brought the Cup fans and the dirt track fans back together a little bit. I think the attendance that you see at some of the Cup races is because the dirt fans are wanting to go see not only Kyle Larson, but watch Christopher Bell as well. And I just think that he's been great for motorsports.
And what I like about Kyle Larson, he doesn't act like he's bigger than everybody
else. He doesn't, never.
Around these World of Outlaw drivers. He just blends in as one of the guys.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. You got anything to add there, Austin?
No, I mean.
No.
No.
Come on, man.
Spit it out, Austin.
There's something you can add. You can add to that conversation.
I guess I can add something. I mean.
Do you think,
I'm trying to think
do
here.
You think, do you think Kyle Larson is. He's really been good for motorsports, though, in the last three years.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, just look at like Tammy said on the comments section, they were all in Kyle Larson shirts. And, you know, it's also a part of the resurgence in NASCAR. You know,
yeah.
All the dirt fans now want to go see Kyle, you know, do good on Sunday. I think it's definitely good. And, you know, who would have thought, you know, when Kyle Larson was racing in the trucks for the Xfinity Series, what was that, probably 7 or 8 years ago now, that he would be the guy that, you know, represents dirt racing and sprint car racing in the country and leads that NASCAR. And, it's really cool to see him, you know, carry that and do a good job,
yeah,
you know, with it.
Caleb also chimed in. He said, I root for Kyle on Sundays when he's at a dirt track. I want to see somebody else win. Cole, he also chimed in. He said, I don't hate a winner. I just hate fans who only show up to see a NASCAR driver and don't go to any other dirt races the rest of the year. I'm kind of with you on that,
too. I'm with him on that.
For sure.
But the point is, Kyle Larson doesn't act like he's bigger than anybody else.
No, he doesn't.
And when he loses, he doesn't, you know, he handles it very well.
And Paul said he's not an arrogant ass like some. No, he's not. He's not like that at all.
He's a really good guy.
Every time I've walked up to talk to Kyle Larson, he's made a point to come over and talk to me and hang out with me. I like Kyle as a person as well as anybody. He is just a great ambassador to our sport. But I think I'm kind of like Cole, you know, and I think I'm kind of like Caleb. I just like to see other people win. I just like to see the underdog win.
So if you're rooting for who's your World of Outlaw underdog then?
My World of Outlaw underdog would be, you know who I'd like to really see win a race?
Who's that?
Craig Kinzer.
Yeah. I think
he runs up front. He had a podium finish here not too long ago.
That is Bristol. But yes, I'll give it to him.
It's still a podium finish, bud, right? It's Bristol.
Chase Rodman is right about Spencer Bastin. I mean, he has really stepped up to the plate.
We're talking about underdogs here, though.
Well, he's kind of an underdog, is he not?
Do you think
Bastin is an underdog? I don't think he is.
No, not. I think Jacob Allen is one. He might be the lead contender for it.
How about James McFadden?
No, I mean, because he's...
The Roth car hasn't won a lot of races over the last several years.
No,
right?
And Pittman's brought that car back a little bit, but it's not to where the Roth car used to be. I definitely think, you know, with the experience that McFadden has with Casey Kane and just his career in general, is going to help better that team anyways. They've switched car manufacturers. I think they were on KCPs before. Now they're on Maxims. So he's bettering that team. I wouldn't really call him an underdog because he has a shot to win every night. I think you could be Jacob Allen, Craig Kinzer.
How about Brock Zierfoss?
Yeah, I would probably I would probably consider Brock an underdog.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, I thought he might have more success on the tour when he joined, but you know, some of your first couple of years are rough, and you know they're not all easy.
Let me ask you.
All right.
Is Casey Kane an underdog?
Yes.
Yes. Think he can still win a race?
Yeah. I mean, he showed speed last year when he ran the Roth car. I think it just has to, you know, everything has to line up for it to work. I don't think he can just, you know, roll into one.
Right.
You know, these guys that give back to racing, Casey Kane definitely one of them, owns the, you know, some of the top teams in the sport like Tony Stewart does, but... Casey Kane driving a race car. I'm just not sure he is. I don't know what kind of health situation he's really in right now.
Right.
But, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, he could run up there with the best of them.
Right. For sure. Well, we got a phone call coming in here. We'll get to it here in a second. I think it's Frank. Frank called in yesterday on the show. We want to thank everybody for doing so. Tanner Thorson would be an underdog, wouldn't he? The 19 AZ car?
Yeah, well, but he's out of that right now. Car.
Oh, he's out now. That's right. I keep forgetting about that.
So,
yeah, I forgot about that. What?
Dreyer-Reinbold Racing.
That just blew out of my mind right there. So, all right.
But there's a... You know, there's just a handful of these guys that are really capable night in and night out going out there and winning these races right now.
Right. Hey, Todd.
He's going to let Austin do the talking for him today. He might be at work, so he may
So maybe he can't talk.
Yeah, so.
Well, we appreciate Frank calling in anyway.
But he's got a point. He's got a comment, though, so he – so.
All right, but Austin is going to get the comment from him and relay it to us here on the set.
That way he doesn't have to, you know.
Right.
I understand. I used to be one of those guys who'd sneak a call at work and to the sports show at night, and you kind of got to be quiet sometimes.
Here's one. Now, Logan Schuart ran well the other night, but has Jacob Allen stepped up and maybe even moved ahead of Logan right now at this point in the season for sure?
Logan finished fourth at Bridgeport.
Right.
Yeah.
But Jacob Allen's been really running really well here lately.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Jacob ended up, he started ninth, run eighth the other night. Not the best finish at Bridgeport for him. So,
but he's got those two wins this year, which has been pretty incredible for Jacob Allen.
And we talked about Brad Sweet with Chase Rodman here just a little bit ago. He started 10th at Bridgeport and ran 12th. What in the heck is going on with that team? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Good question.
All right. Well, we're waiting on Austin to give us a frank opinion. A frank opinion. So
Knoxville going at it tomorrow night. Aaron Reitzel going to be back up there tomorrow. I don't know if he's going to show back up at Knoxville to battle Brian Brown up there.
Aaron Reitzel's currently 20th. The Klukes Texas driver, he is 20th in the world of outlaw points right now. He's got two top fives and four top tens out of the races that he's ran so far. How many races has he ran?
I'm not sure.
He's got 10 starts.
He's a true outlaw this year, is he not?
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, Austin, tell him you got to go if you're going to give us an opinion because we're about ready to go off the air.
So we'll get
Him you can't have a 10-minute discussion with him.
Hey, can I talk about something that I noticed yesterday? Merchandise sales, we all know how big that is in racing.
Yeah.
I saw something yesterday that just absolutely blew me away when it comes to merchandise sales. You know, the NHRA has had this big building on their sites for all their events. They put up these port.
NASCAR went to that as well, Kurt.
NASCAR went to a one building type setup instead of all the trailers.
One big tent. Yeah. One big tent.
Anyway, they constructed this big building at the golf tournament yesterday down in Tulsa that is even way bigger than the NHRA building that you see at the NHRA national sites. And the amount of people that were running through there, they had all of these checkout stations set up. Was the biggest I had ever seen, even more than any kind of racing merchandise sales that I'd ever seen in my life.
How about that?
At that PGA golf tournament. Yesterday.
This isn't a golf show.
But the merchandise sales is a lot similar to what you see in racing.
Golf does nothing for me, just so you know.
But I thought that nothing would ever be. I thought nothing would ever be bigger than racing merchandise sales until I went to this golf tournament yesterday.
Austin, what did Frank have to say?
Frank just, he heard me mention Brock Searfoss.
Yeah.
And kind of being an underdog, and he just kind of wanted my opinion on what I thought about Brock and what his career kind of should look like in the coming years. And he mentioned, you know, maybe Brock, because he really hasn't shown any.
He's only had four top tens all year.
Yeah,
no top fives.
He hasn't produced. Right. And he had a point, you know, at what point does he try and go back home and run in PA, or does he go join the All-Star Tour or another?
The All-Star Tour would probably be better for him, wouldn't you think?
Or just be like a full-time outlaw to kind of a deal where you run anywhere you want. To kind of do what Seth Bergman did. We talked about a couple days ago and get experience out on the road, know what it takes, come back home. And hopefully what you learned out on the road can make you better at home and you can win and have a lot of confidence, then go back out on the road here in a couple of years and hopefully contend better than you did.
But he is 10th in points right now.
But that's the problem. He's 10th in points right now, and that's going to pay a pretty decent amount of money at the end of the year.
You know, it is, and then he kind of mentioned at what point does your sponsors kind of drop you for not performing. And, you know, one great thing that Brock, you know, brings to the table with his team is his family owns the Moose's LZ Bar and Grill.
Right.
So he's not going to have – that's pretty much who funds everything. That's not going to drop him. You know, he does have some other partners that – are not family related that I know of, but when you're out on the outlaw level, there's so much exposure and potential marketing you can do.
Right.
That
because the world of outlaws really pay attention to that kind of stuff.
That they do, and they have such a big fan base where you won't lose a sponsor because of exposure issues.
328 points out of the lead, currently 10th in the points. He's only got four top tens, no top fives, no wins. In 20 starts.
But he has one spot ahead of Craig Kenser.
What's that mean?
I don't know. Just throwing that out.
What's that got to do with the price of tea in China?
You brought up Craig Kinser earlier.
I brought him up as an underdog.
Yeah. So Brock Zierfoss, can he be the same as Craig Kinser in terms of underdog status?
Yes.
Craig Kinser at least has one top five. But he only has one top ten. So that's the same race, right? That would be at Bristol.
Yep. And fewer points than Brock Zierfoss.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show today. We also want to thank our guest, Chase Rodman, for being on the show. We'll have him on from time to time. Really looking forward to a lot of racing this weekend. Unfortunately, I'm going to be running a camera tomorrow night at Sweet Springs. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Bring your heavy coat.
You better dress warm
tomorrow night. I don't know how cool it's going to be.
In the 40s.
So we'll keep you up to date on the Race Boys social networks on the status of all these races. Hopefully they get them all in.
Yeah.
Except not Tri-City Speedway,
Kirk,
unfortunately.
Can I just say this? I think our Facebook page has too much NASCAR on it. Way too much NASCAR. Not enough grassroots racing on. Every article I read on there is NASCAR. Why are we not putting up dirt track racing articles on there? Can you answer that for me?
I have no answer to that.
Why are we just doing NASCAR?
Because that's all the original content that we have up there.
No, we can put other people's press releases up there.
Okay.
It makes us look like we're all about NASCAR on our Facebook page. We're not about NASCAR. We're about dirt track racing here at Racing Boys. We're just not all about NASCAR. We got to give it a break a little bit. We got to get some other stuff up there besides NASCAR.
Duly noted.
Okay. All right, Austin. Listen, bud, I'm real proud of you. You're graduating this weekend. I'm really happy for you. You're doing something that I never did. I didn't graduate from high school. I'm a high school dropout, and I am really proud of you and your accomplishments as a young, upcoming, just a smart kid, man. I'm so happy to have you a part of this show, and I'm really proud of you for graduating high school, man. Congratulations to you, buddy.
That is a big deal. Congratulations.
It is.
I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. All right, well, that's it. Don't forget, tomorrow at 8 o'clock Central Time, we're going to have Track Talk with the Race Boys, Kirk Elliott, myself. Austin won't be here tomorrow, but Todd Surprise will be. Todd's been with us for 11 years, folks. So we'll be hanging out with you tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central Time. We're going to have some replays from Robert Ballew, Seth Bergman, Steve Post, and Chase Rodman tomorrow. So we'll have a little bit of sound from some of the guests that we've had on this week on Mostly Motorsports. That's all tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central Time. We're on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the largest all-sports radio station in the country, folks. 50,000-watt blow torch that reaches six states, 44,000 square miles here in the Midwest. It reaches all over the Midwest. And we hope that you'll join us. You can watch us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and racingboys.com. It's called Track Talk. We've been doing the show together, me and Kirk, now for 22 years on the same radio station, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We hope that you'll join us tomorrow morning again at 8 o'clock Central Time. For Austin O'Neill, for Todd Surprise, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor. Thanks for joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.